Today we're building a proper air horn impact system in Ableton Live 12 for heavyweight jungle and old school DN beat energy. And I want you to think of this as more than just dropping in a loud sample. We're designing a moment. A horn hit in this style is like punctuation at the end of a sentence. It can announce the drop, answer the bass line, frame a rewind, or bring that rude sound system attitude that makes the whole tune feel bigger. The big idea here is contrast. The horn needs to cut through in the upper mids, the sub needs to hit underneath with control, and the drums need to keep moving after the impact. If all you do is make the horn louder, it usually just gets messy. So we're going to build a reusable rack or group chain that gives us a bright horn stab, a solid sub accent, and enough control to make it work inside a real DNB arrangement. First, choose a source that already has attitude. A good air horn sample is usually the fastest route. If you want to synthesize one, you can do that too with something like Operator or Wavitable, but for this lesson a sample is often the cleanest starting point. Pick something with a strong bite in the mid-range, roughly around 700 Hz to 3 kHz, and avoid samples that are already swimming in reverb. If the horn sounds too polite, that's fine. We can rough it up later. Put the horn on its own track and group it into a rock or bus right away. Give it a clear name, something like Horn Impact Drop 1. That way you start treating it like a system, not a random one-off sample. That mindset matters, because you're going to revisit this sound again and again in different sections of the tune. Now shape the envelope so it behaves like a hit, not a sustained lead. In Simpler or Sampler, keep the attack basically instant, just a tiny bit of fade if needed, then shorten the decay so it slams and gets out of the way. A good starting point is a very fast attack, a decay somewhere in the 150 to 450 millisecond range, sustain at zero, and a short release. If you hear the tail stepping on your break or bass line, shorten it even more. In jungle and TNB, even a few milliseconds can make the difference between a tight impact and a muddy one. This is where the sub comes in. The horn grabs attention, but the sub gives the hit real physical weight. Build a parallel sub layer on a separate track or inside the same rack using Operator or Wavitable, and keep it simple. A sine wave or something very close to it is usually perfect. Make it short and punchy, with a decay around 80 to 180 milliseconds, no sustain, and a short release. Keep it mono and centered. If you want the hit to feel more violent, add a tiny pitch drop at the start of the sub. Nothing extreme, just a subtle downward movement over a few milliseconds can make it feel like the floor drops out for a moment. That's a classic heavyweight DNB trick. The horn tells the ear, listen up, and the sub tells the body, there it is. Next, separate the layers with EQ. On the horn, high pass around 120 to 200 Hz so it leaves room for the sub. If it gets harsh, ease off some of the upper mids around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If it sounds boxy, pull a little around 300 to 600 Hz. If it needs more forward attitude, a gentle boost around 1 to 2 kHz can help it speak through a busy mix. On the sub layer, keep it focused. Low pass if needed, remove any mud in the low mids, and keep it dead center. The goal is simple, the horn should be heard, the sub should be felt. If those two layers are fighting each other, the impact loses authority. Now let's add attitude with saturation and transient control. Saturation is important here, because it helps the hit translate on small speakers and big systems alike. You're not just making it louder, you're adding harmonics that help it cut through dense breaks and bass. A saturator, drum bus, or roar can all work well. On the horn bus, try a moderate amount of drive and be careful not to flatten the attack too much. The first instant of the sound is where the attitude lives, so preserve that transient. For the sub, keep saturation much more restrained, just enough to make it audible and solid, not so much that below end turns fuzzy. Heavy distortion on the sub is one of the easiest ways to lose clarity in this kind of mix. You want pressure, not mush. Once the layers are behaving, route them to a dedicated impact bus. Put a glue compressor or compressor on that bus and use it to tighten everything up. You're aiming for a couple dB of gain reduction at the peaks, not a smashed, lifeless sound. If the horn hit is fighting the kick and snare, a light side chain from the drum group can help the drums breathe after the impact. Keep it subtle. You don't want the hit to disappear. You just want the groove to stay readable. This is where arrangement starts to matter just as much as sound design. In jungle and old school DNB, the placement of the horn is half the vibe. A great horn hit on the first beat of the drop can feel massive. A horn on the last little pickup before the drop can build tension. A call and response horn that answers a drum fill every 2 or 4 bars can make the tune feel interactive and alive. And in a rewind style moment, A horn layered with a sudden stop can become a real signature event. Try thinking in phrases, not just bars. For example, you might have a full break and bass line rolling, then hit the horn at the top of the next four-bar section, then let the drums answer with a fill, then bring the bass back in with a variation. That kind of structure gives the listener something to lock onto. DNB lives on that sense of momentum and memory. Now let's make it less static by automating movement. You can automate the horn's decay or release, the filter cutoff, the saturation drive, the reverb send, the bus volume, and even the pitch drop amount on the sub. A nice trick is to keep the horn slightly drier and tighter before the drop, then open it up and hit it harder right on the impact. After the hit, pull the reverb back down quickly so the next drum phrase stays clean. If you want a classic jungle flavor, a short reverb send can be really effective, but keep it brief. The tail should bloom for a moment and then get out of the way. Too much reverb in break-heavy music can blur the groove fast. You can also try a little stereo widening on the horn itself, but keep the sub completely centered. Wide top, solid middle, mono bottom. That's a good rule of thumb. At this point, bounce the result to audio. That's a very useful DNB move, because once you print it, you can treat it like a drum sample. Trim the start, remove any dead space, and make a few variations. Maybe one version is short and dry for the main drop. Another is slightly wider with a short reverb throw for transitions. Another has the sub included for the biggest impact. You can even reverse the tail on one version to create a pre-hit lead-in. This is where the sound design starts becoming a toolkit. Instead of one horn, you now have a suite of impacts you can drop into different parts of the tune. That makes your arrangement more flexible and keeps repeated sections from feeling copy-pasted. When you test the impact in context, always listen against the actual breakbeat and bassline, not in solo. A horn can sound huge by itself and still fail in the mix. Ask yourself a few simple questions. Does it still feel rude at low volume? Does the sub hit without stepping on the kick? And does the horn vanish into the drums after the attack? Or does it hang around too long? If the snare gets masked, shorten the release or reduce the reverb tail. If the horn is exciting but the drop loses weight, pull some low mids out of the horn and let the sub breathe. A really good check is to listen quietly. If the impact still reads at low monitoring volume, the spectral balance is probably working. If it only sounds good when it's loud, you may be relying too much on sheer level instead of actual character. You can also make alternate versions for different roles. For example, make one horn hit that's dry and punchy for the main drop. Make another that's dirtier and darker for switch-ups. Make another that's wider and more spacious for transitions. Then place them strategically across the arrangement so each one has a job. That way the listener starts to recognize the horn as part of the tune's identity, not just a random effect. One more important thing, keep the transient honest. If you compress or saturate too hard, you can flatten the attack and the hit loses its attitude. In this style, the first 50 milliseconds matter a lot. Protect that front edge while thickening the body underneath it. So to recap the workflow, pick an aggressive horn source, shape it into a tight hit, build a mono sub layer under it, separate the layers with EQ, add controlled saturation for density, glue them together on a bus, place the hit at phrase boundaries, automate movement for variation, and finally bounce it to audio so you can use it like a real production tool. For your practice, make two versions. Version A should be dry, short, and punchy for a straight drop hit. Version B should be slightly wider, with a short reverb throw and a bit more saturation for tension or switch-ups. Put both into an 8-bar loop with a chopped breakbeat, a sub or reese bass line, and a small drum fill before the impact. Test them on different bars, tweak the timing and tail, and make sure each version has a clear role. If you want to push it even further, build a 3-version horn suite, one straight hit, one dirty hit, and one wide transition hit. Then use them across a full arrangement so each one appears in a different context. That's how you make the horn feel intentional, powerful, and very much part of the DNB architecture. And that's the whole point here. We're not just making a loud sample. We're building a heavyweight impact system that can punch through a jungle mix, support the sub, respect the drums, and give your drop that classic sound system authority.